chapter 20. I want to talk to our hearts a little this morning. I want you to go with me this morning, the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Now, last Sunday, I preached about close to Jesus with a bad attitude. And I preached about these two boys and their mother that came, that, you know, were disciples of Jesus. And they came with the right, like we do. The Bible said they came to him. Verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, Salome, with her sons, worshiping him and desiring. Now here's where the attitude needed adjusting. The desire. And she desired a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Jesus said unto her, ye know not what ye ask. In other words, and I mentioned that word, and I don't want you to take it as offensive, but to not know is ignorance. And I don't say that in a way of being, you know, of insult. But these people that were close to Christ did not know what was wrong with their request. And so Jesus began to tell them. He said, he asked them first, you know, he's going to sit on the throne, and he knew what was facing him before he could sit on that throne. What did he have to go through with? He had to die. He had to be beaten, scourged, tortured, shamed, humiliated, and die on the cross before he could go to his throne. So the first thing he did, and I'm not going to dwell on this long. I'm going to finish this morning, Lord willing. But the first thing he asked them, you know, I'm going to my throne, but I've got to drink this cup. How many understands when he talked about drinking the cup? He was talking about this death and carrying this sin of the world upon his back. That was the cup that was offered him, and he had to drink every bit of it. And he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And so he said, are you able to drink the cup that I drink of? In other words, you got the wrong idea about this kingdom. They thought, and I want to tell you something this morning, sometimes we get the wrong idea. Huh? Sometimes you, my precious flock, get the wrong idea about this kingdom of God. You say, well, boy, you're being judgmental. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the facts of it. We get the wrong impression. Now, she thought the Lord was going to call this heaven's host, and he was going to rise up and sit on the throne, and they were going to rule the world, and she had the wrong concept. And he had just a few verses before, he had said, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I've got to be killed, offered up, I'm going to be betrayed, and they didn't buy it. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it. She still didn't get it. And so her idea is, I want to get my boys an exclusive place in the kingdom. And the right and left would be the great place, amen, to be. Now, Jesus teaches a great lesson. I'm going to spend the next 15 or 20 minutes trying to teach us this lesson. This morning's lesson is on servitude. Servant. Service. That's what Christ taught her right here. Now listen. Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? and baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. And he said, ye shall indeed drink of my cup. And I told you last Sunday that they did drink of the suffering, because James was the first one of the disciples to die as a martyr. He was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, and Herod killed him. And then John, his brother, was the last one of the disciples to die. He lived to be nearly 100 years old, and he died after he took Jesus' mother in his home, and he ended up out on the Isle of Patmos writing the book of Revelations and died an old man. Amen, which we thank the Lord. But he did drink eventually of that cup. Amen. But he, as I can understand historical figures, he died of natural causes. The only one of them that did. But he did die and was persecuted and boiled in oil and beaten and put on a lonely island. He did suffer and drink of that cup. But now here's what Jesus, here's the lesson this morning. And if I can get this to you, it will change our church. He said unto them, you shall indeed drink of my cup and baptize with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now, let's go into verse 21. Still with me? Who's with me? Say amen. All right, read along with me. Now, this is for you, listen, and me. When the ten heard it, now, help me here this morning. I want to preach to you. When the ten heard it, ten disciples that were really felt like they were on the same level as James and John. They overheard the mother speaking up, and it started a little controversy. They didn't like it. And I can just hear them now. They overheard her saying, let my boy sit on the right hand and left. And they said, can you believe the audacity of them two sons of thunder, amen, that are no better than we are, wanting to sit on the right hand, amen, and on the left hand, and a little uproar. You ever been around a church where somebody overheard something and it caused a little uproar? Seems like I heard a little laughter here. Y'all have been around that. Amen. And everything gets going. Now, Jesus was getting ready to teach them a valuable lesson that I need to teach my church this morning, the pastor included, from the top down. I want you to listen to this. Jesus began to explain. Now, listen close. This verse will change your life if you get a hold of it. Now, listen to this. When the ten heard, they were moved with indignation. You hear that word? How many thinks they know what this word indignation means? Does that mean they went over? How do you think they reacted? When you act with indignation, how do you act? Now, my dear friend, I think there's a little misunderstanding here. And I don't want to seem, you know, presumptuous and overbearing, but, you know, there's some way that in ways I feel like I might be just as good as you are. That's not the way it did. That's not indignant. Indignant means, what in the world you think you're doing? See, I can be indignant too. How many thinks that's more indignant? And it caused a stir. Now, I want to tell you something. Woo, help me now. We need to be careful. Listen to me. We need to be careful with our attitudes, or we're going to end up with an indignant spirit, or the spirit that provokes indignation. And brother, but Christ is right in the middle of this, and I want you to listen to what he says. And Jesus, but Jesus called them unto him. Boys, men, brethren, disciples, come here. Come over here. And they were just steaming. And you just see Peter steaming. Huh? You ever get mad at church? No, Brother Webb. Never. We're just wee lambs. Oh, come on. I'm too old for that. Huh? Praise God. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. And here's what he said. Listen to this. And you know, listen, verse 25. Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, the Gentiles. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's the way the Gentiles do. The ones that are stronger, better, bigger, they rule over the lesser, and they dictate and lord over them. Verse 26. Now here's what I want you to get. But it shall not be so among you. Now, buddy, but it stirs me up. That's the way they do, but that's not the way you're gonna do. Now, let me tell you, how many is with me this one? Can I have an amen in here somewhere? Now, here's the attitude. And he said, look, these two boys wanted to lord over you. They really did. It made you mad. Because really, it made them mad because they felt like maybe they had a chance to gain that position. And so he said, now look, here's how the world does it. Here's how the world does it. But you're not going to be like the world. You're not going to have the same attitude. You're not going to have the same goals. It's going to be totally different. Now, I want you to look at the attitude that he promoted among the children of God. Now, this will change our church, if I can get this to you. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now, that's not talking about the preacher. Amen. Whoever's going to be the greatest among you. Now, I know this is strange, but boy, I need to get this to you. Whoever's going to be the greatest among you, amen, needs to be a servant to you. Now, I want you to think about that just a minute. I want you to just ponder that just a minute. In this dog-eat-dog world, when everybody's using each other for a stepping stone to climb up to higher ground. Brother and sister, listen. We need this attitude. These two came to Christ with the wrong attitude. They came to Christ with the attitude of let me and mine be the chief and the right hand. They didn't understand what the kingdom of God was in the hearts of men, and it was going to be in a better world later on. Amen. But it was not in this earthly, fleshly world like a Herod, amen, or someone on a throne. It is totally different. Amen. Come on now. I'll tell you what. I don't see how, amen, we can be in the kingdom of God and the children of God and feel like we can go right on acting and doing it things and acting like and being of the same nature, amen, of those in the world. He said that's not the way it's going to be. Here's the way the Gentiles do. They have their leaders, their dictators, their monarchs. They have their great people they put over, and the rest just hunker down and they lord over them. That's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. Amen. If you're going to be a great person in the kingdom of God, you've got to humble yourself. Amen. Come on now. If I was going to do a seminar, the young preachers, amen, and the question come up, what is the greatest attribute of a preacher? What does he have to accomplish before he can be a great preacher? He's got to be humble. You hear what I'm saying? He's going to have to submit himself, amen, under the hand of God and be a servant, amen. Are you listening to me? A minister, amen, a servant to the kingdom of God. And can I tell you, if you want to be elevated, amen, can I say it that way? If you want to be something great in the kingdom of God, you're not going to do it, amen, until you get humble and come down humbly and be willing to be a servant. That's what Jesus was doing when he girded himself in the upper room and washed his disciples' feet. He said, as I've done it unto you, you must do it to one another. Is that right or not? If you'll take this spirit me read it. Boy, I want to preach this to you. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. There's so many people here needs this. He said, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man, here's your example. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Anybody get this lesson yet? It is the opposite of the world. Sometimes you'll see people in the world and people that have obtained, and you know, and I'll tell you, we exalt people in our culture that don't deserve it. Really. They'll take people, you'll take somebody that does drugs and cheats on their companion and, you know, and just cusses and elevate him, pay him $20 million a year to go play basketball. Now, I mean, the culture is kind of warped, isn't it, in a way? That just goes to show you. Now, that wouldn't happen unless people went to see them and, you know, and honored them and lifted them, elevated them because of their talent and their ability. And so, hey, this world, hey, over in the Middle East right now, you know, the tyrants that are being, some are being toppled and some others are rising, and it is a very confusing thing. You look out in the world, if you're in the business world, think about the CEOs and the politics and the back scratching that goes on in the political spectrum, and the climbing of the ladder. And if we're not careful, we'll observe this mentality and this culture, and you'll say, well, that's the way it's got to be in my life. But Jesus said, not so. God has a way of running the church world, the church culture. It's not like the world. Amen. Those that are in control or in authority are servants to all. If you get a preacher that's not willing to serve, he ain't worth a plug nickel. You get someone in the church that wants preeminence. That's what Paul talked about, one enemy he had. Diotrephes. He said he desires preeminence. You get somebody that his desire. You get somebody. I remember Brother Gabbard, a young man. I was over at Richlands in the camp meeting. Brother Gabbard was praying for people. People were coming up wanting prayer, and I was standing, you know, off to his elbow, just praying along with them. And this young man come up and he said, I couldn't help but overhear what he said. He said, Brother Gabbard, I feel like the Lord may be calling me to preach. I'm not sure. And I want you to pray that God will help me. And Brother Gabbard leaned over and whispered, we didn't whisper, he said, son, get out of it if you can. And he said, well, why would a preacher tell a young man that felt like the Lord, because if he can get out of it, he's not called. Y'all not get it, are you? Sometimes in the church world, you get somebody that wants to be a preacher just because that's why the Bible said not to ordain someone that was a new convert. Are y'all there? He said because they'd be lifted up in pride, and pride won't work in the leadership of the kingdom. It might work in out there in the world, but not in the kingdom of God. So he said, don't anoint, ordain a young person to be the leader of the church, a young convert, to be not necessarily age-wise, but a young convert. It's somebody, has to be somebody that's seasoned and established because they'll be lifted. And that's not the way it works. If you have somebody in the church, and if you're here this morning, and you've got that tendency, as James and John, just to be positioned at the right or left of Jesus, amen, for the prestige of it, you're not going to be any good in the kingdom of God. Am I preaching right to you this morning or not? I could bring this on down, amen. And you know, we've got a world, and I love the Constitution, but and the rights as a natural government. But now in the church world, when all we're doing is screaming and crying for our rights, amen, then that shows that we're not, amen, hardly submissive. Are you listening to me? Let's submit ourselves under the hand of God, even in a marriage. A marriage don't work one-sided. Are y'all listening to me? I know God gives a man, he gives authority in a marriage. And how many sisters, help me with this, how many knows that he gives the husband the head of the home? Now, Isaac, I said, ladies, I appreciate you said amen, but I was wanting Lindsay to say amen. Did he or not? Does that mean that the husband lords over his wife like a dictator? I'll bring my wife into subjection. Is that what the Bible said? It did not. It said, husbands, love your wives, honor her as the weaker vessel, and wives, submit yourselves unto your husband. She's got to do that. How many knows if the wife... Now, let me give you a little scenario. Now, you're going to think this is a fairy tale, but just let me listen. If the wife takes a position to serve her family, and the husband takes the attitude of serving his wife and family, and the children take the attitude to serve their parents, does that sound like a pretty good environment? Y'all are shocked. I'm not talking about fairy tale. That's the plan of God for our lives. You say, well, it ain't that way at my home. That's because somebody ain't doing the will of God. What was that menu again? See, let's change the subject here. Was it roast beast? Okay. Sister Carol? You don't care if I pick on you. You're the only one smiling. I won't come over here. Huh? God has called us to be servants, hasn't he? You know what the Bible said, Brother Jim, when it says for the wives to honor, husbands to honor their wives? It says, as Christ. He's our example. Without him, we can't do it. He was the example. And he said, look, And how would you like to have been James and John right now? Oh, no, that wasn't my idea. It was mom's idea. Oh, boy, here's my mommy. She just, you know. But did you think he put them in line? He said, if you're going to be great, it's not through promotion like they do in the world. It's through servitude. And the example is, I gave my life as a ransom for many. Was that the greatest of all, our Savior? Brother, if we're going to be anything for God, sister, amen. I know you may not, I don't know what you think about taking these little kids up there. I guess that's aggravating at times. Do you think it'd be aggravating to get 15 little kids in a room and try to teach them a song in 5 minutes? That would be aggravating. But you know, God's called you to serve. Huh? Not just you and me. Every one of you. Is that right? Easy for you to say, preacher. Yeah, no, it's not. It's easy to tell the truth, isn't it? How many gets this sermon? How many sees the attitude that the Lord wants us to have? The attitude to serve. I mentioned the other day about the deacon. A deacon, this word servant, and a deacon in the church. You know, then the deacons were needed because they were 8,000 people in the church at Jerusalem, plus daily added. And they had widows. Now, a widow in the New Testament time, a widow indeed, was a lady that had lost her husband that had no children to take care of. Didn't have any children or anyone to take care of. Now, if a widow had a son or son-in-law, then they were commanded to take care of this widow. But if she was a widow indeed, then the church would take care of her. And so they needed men to wait on the tables of these widow tables and to go to the prisons and visit and to go, you know, do these lesser notice things so that the apostles would be free to preach and pray and study and travel and go to the homes and preach the gospel. But when he called these deacons, which that word deacon means the one that wears the servant's apron. That's what a deacon means. He got the servant's apron on. And brother, he said, I want these deacons to be men of honor and so on. Call them out full of the Holy Ghost and faith. They had to be this just to carry a basket of bread down to the widows. You had to be full of the Holy Ghost just to go take care of a need that some orphan or widow had. How many understands that that's what the Bible teaches? Huh? That we're to be servants. Huh? This world's not our home. We don't operate, the kingdom of God does not operate like the Gentile world. That's the way they do, but not us. Now here in closing this morning, here's what I'd like to say. In a general sweep, this morning when I mentioned to you about, I know it was the Lord dealing with me this morning, about there was an individual, and you just have to know how the Lord deals with me, but an individual that had believed holiness all their life, now didn't believe it anymore, and said they didn't ever believe it. And so they had adapted the way they looked and the way they were to the world. But I want you to know, now listen to me, I'm not being critical of any other church. I'm not, that's not my point. But I'm saying this, the way the world operates is not the way the church operates. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something else. That old fleshly nature, it is not the servant's nature either. You've got to crucify that fleshly nature, because if you're not careful, that old flesh will have you looking out for old number one. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me, men and women, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, your call in your marriage, your relationships at school, at the job, wherever you are, your calling is to be a servant and have a servant's heart. Sisters, you may think because you can dominate your husband and get him to do whatever you want, that is your advantage. It is not to your advantage. Husband, because you can be firm and harsh to your wife and get her to cow down, you feel like you've got things under control. That ain't it. God wants us to serve one another, to submit ourselves to one another. Am I preaching the gospel or not? Is that what the gospel teaches? That's all we're in business here for. We don't do nothing else. That's what we do. We tell the truth from this gospel. That's what God wants of us. Amen. Is that right? God bless you. Love you. Stand.